It's a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, featuring holiday shows from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Later on, a broadcast of Dark Fantasy from the day after Christmas, 1941. But first, The Great Gildersleeve with a Christmas shopping episode. First heard on NBC on December 10th, 1947.
The Kraft Foods Company presents Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve. For everybody who loves mellow, melt-in-the-mouth cheddar cheese, we have a piece of great news. It's about Kraft's natural cheddar called K-Brand. K-Brand is for folks who really get a thrill out of superb quality cheddar cheese. Remember the name, K-Brand Natural Cheddar. And listen for more about this masterpiece in cheese-making a little later on in the program. Quiet in the Gildersleeve household on this December evening. The family has just finished dinner, and the great man is in his den resting his overstuffed figure in his overstuffed chair. His eyes are closing drowsily when suddenly he sits up with a start. He's made a great discovery.
Say, Christmas is coming, and I haven't done my shopping yet. Well, by George, I'm not going to wait till the last minute this year. I'm going to do my shopping early. Tomorrow.
Leroy! Marjorie!
What's the matter, Unky?
You got indigestion again?
Shall I get the baking soda?
No, I feel fine.
Then what's the matter?
Children, Christmas is coming.
Huh? Everybody knows that.
Well, anyhow, I've decided to do my shopping early this year. Tomorrow.
You call this early? I started in November.
Well, I...
Oh, for corn's sake, Unc, didn't you get my model airplane yet?
Leroy, nobody said you were getting a model airplane, for sure. That's up to Santa Claus.
Santa Claus? Are you kidding?
No, my boy. You mustn't scoff at things like that. As long as we have the spirit of Christmas, there'll always be a Santa Claus.
You said it, Unc.
Remember that.
Sure. Unc.
Yes, my boy?
Santa Claus better get off the dime and get that model airplane before they're all gone.
Leroy.
Well, if that's all you wanted, I've got to finish addressing my Christmas card.
I'm going shopping tomorrow. Better make out a list. That's the efficient thing to do. Let's see now. Where's a pencil? I'll need some... Leroy, you may leave the room.
Want me to help you make out your list, Unc?
That won't be necessary.
Oh, it's no trouble. Glad to do it.
No, thank you.
Well, maybe you could put down the airplane first. It starts with A.
Leroy, I don't
They got some swell ones down at the Hogan Brothers department store with gas motors. I've been down there trying them out all week. You know the kind I mean, huh, Unc?
Leroy, leave the room.
Okay, Unc, anything you say. But don't forget, the one with the gas motor.
Glad Christmas only comes once a year. Well, it is kind of nice at last. Yeah, I'll start my list with Judge Hooker. Let's see, ought to get the judge something nice. I don't know, though. The old cheapskate never gets me much. Judge Hooker. One necktie, $1. There, that takes care of him. Now I'll write down for Marjorie. If I were a girl of 16, what would I want? Let's see. Funny, all I can think of is cigars.
Excuse, please. Oh, I didn't know you were busy. Excuse me.
All right, Bertie, what is it?
Just got one cup of coffee left, and I thought I'd see if you wanted it before I dump it out.
Yeah, no thanks, Bertie. Too busy making out my Christmas list.
Oh.
Yep, doing my shopping tomorrow. You ought to do the same, Bertie. Don't put it off till the last minute.
Oh, you don't have to tell me, Mr. Gildersleeve. I did all my shopping 6 weeks ago.
Oh.
Got all my presents wrapped, sealed, and ready to deliver. I'm through.
I see.
Yes, sir. I ain't no put it off. I'm going to do it now. I'm through.
Yes, Bertie.
Some people put things off, but not Bertie. I'm going to do it now.
Bertie, I didn't see
it. Yes, sir. I ain't no put it off.
Please forget I mentioned it.
You can wait till the last moment if you want to, but not me. I'm through. I'm going to do it now.
Yes, indeed. Let's see here now. Bertie, handbag. Leroy, model airplane. Marjorie. Well, got the whole afternoon ahead of me. Got my list all made out. Nothing to it. Don't see why everybody makes such a fuss about Christmas shopping. Well, look at that Hogan Brothers window. Santa's workshop. Pretty cute, all right. All those little fellows busy making toys. Wonder how they get them to move like that. Yeah. After you, madam. Pretty crowded in here. Guess everybody's doing their Christmas shopping early. Christmas carols over the loudspeaker. Oh, that's nice. Wonder where I should start first. Let's see. Where's my list?
Oh, Floorwalker.
Huh?
Floorwalker, where's the notions department?
Why, I don't know. You see, I...
Oh, Christmas help. They never know anything.
Floorwalker. Guess I should have worn my hat. let's see. I'll look for Bertie's present first.
Hiya.
Leroy.
Well, I see you got here all right. Toy department's on the fourth floor. Elevator's right over there.
I know that, Leroy.
I'd get right up there, Unc, before those model airplanes are all gone. Come on, I'll go with you.
Leroy, I didn't say I was going to get you a model airplane.
Oh, Unc.
Well, we'll see. Now run along. Go home and play with Piggy or something.
Oh, Piggy's down here, too. We're playing tag on the escalator.
Oh, my goodness.
See you later, Unc. And don't forget, the one with the gas motors.
That kid never lets me surprise him. Well, guess I'll go up and get him that model airplane now. Hey, there's the handbag table. Might as well get pretty. Too many women around here. I'll come back later. Take your life in your hands. There's the necktie counter. No crowd over there. Good time to get a hooker's necktie. Let's see. Where are the cheap ones? Down here. They look pretty awful. Well, they're good enough for the judge. I'll get him this one with the peppermint stripes. Make him look like a walking barber pole.
Well, hello, Gildy.
Hooker.
Kind of a spendthrift, aren't you, Gildy, buying a dollar tie?
Well,
Christmas gift, I presume. Who's the unlucky person?
Well...
He'd have to be an awful fathead to wear a tie like that.
He is.
It'd look good on you, Gildy.
Well, I'm glad you liked it, Judge.
Wait a minute, Piggy. There's my uncle. Hey,
Unc. Leroy. Hello, Leroy.
Hello. Unc, what are you doing down here? Didn't you go see about my model airplane yet?
Leroy, I told you.
They're going to be all gone.
If you don't go away and quit bothering me, Leroy, I won't get you anything.
Okay, Unc. Forget I mentioned it. Only kidding. See you later.
Gildy. Aren't you going to get the boy his airplane?
Of course I am, but I don't want him to know it.
Well, why don't you go out and get it now? I'll go with you.
Well, all right, Judge.
I believe it's on the fourth floor. Toyland.
I know.
Toyland, Toyland.
What?
Dear little girl and boyland.
Oh, brother, come on, Judge. You know, Judge, being up here takes me back to my own childhood. I used to love Christmas.
Yes, Gildy. I think I see the model airplanes right over there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look at these toy soldiers. I used to have a set of these when I was a kid. Fought some big battles on our kitchen floor.
Well, you're not a kid anymore, Gildy.
Hey, that electric train's a beauty. Look. We're going to go over that bridge. Just like a real one.
Gildy, we're up here to buy something for Leroy.
Watch this, Judge. I'll throw the switch and make her go through the tunnel. You see it? There she goes. Clear the tracks. Here comes the Cannonball Express. Toot, 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 toot.
Gildy, why don't you grow up?
Look at it, Judge. This is...
Now look what you did, Gildy. It jumped the track.
I know it. Hurry up, will you, Horace? Help me put it back.
Can I help you two children?
Sorry, a train went off the track. I'll put it back.
Don't bother.
I'll put it back. Butterfingers.
I was looking for something for Leroy. That's my little nephew.
A model airplane.
Model airplane. Just follow me.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve and Judge Hooker.
Ooh,
Mrs. Dalrymple.
Why, good afternoon.
Gentlemen, are you coming?
In just a minute, clerk.
I never expected to find you two up here in Toyland. Now, isn't that cute?
Well, the judge came up, too.
Oh, you men, you never grow up. You're all big, lovable boys. I've been shopping all day, and I'm simply exhausted.
Oh, you poor thing.
Why, that's a shame.
Oh, it's all right. Buying Christmas presents is really lots of fun. And I don't mind carrying all these heavy packages.
Could I carry them for you, Mrs. Dalrymple?
No, let me carry them.
Oh, I wouldn't want to put you gentlemen to any trouble.
Oh, it's no trouble. I would deem it a pleasure.
Step out of the way, Judge. I'm stronger than you are.
I'll carry them, Gildy.
I'll carry them. You're too old.
You're too fat.
I'll Indian wrestle you for it.
Well, how about flipping a coin?
Coward.
Fatty face.
Now, please don't quarrel over me. I know. We'll decide it this way. Whoever my finger points to last. My mother told me to take this one. It's you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Shucks.
I get to carry the packages. Here, let me take them.
All righty.
They are a little heavy.
Gilder.
What?
What about Leroy's airplane?
Well, I'll be back in a minute, Judge. Shall I take these downstairs for you, Mrs. Dalrymple?
Yes, thank you. Oh, I just remembered. I would like to get one more thing.
You would?
Yes, I forgot to get a salad bowl for Cousin Effie. They're up on the sixth floor.
They are.
You don't mind, do you, Mr. Gildersleeve?
No, I don't mind.
I'll just put this salad bowl under your arm.
Oh, is that my arm?
There. Is that all righty?
Fine. Well, I guess we're ready to go.
Yes. Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve, I just thought of something else.
What's that?
I didn't get a birdcage for George.
Oh, yeah. Must get a birdcage.
They're down on the third floor. You don't mind, do you?
No, I don't mind.
This birdcage can go on top of the other bundles. There. Are you comfy under there, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yeah, very comfy, but I can't see.
Well, that's all right. You just follow me. Oh, I just remembered something else. It's up on the seventh floor.
Up on the... Zook. Zeep. Zoink.
There. Well, now I'm finished.
So am I.
Isn't Christmas shopping fun?
Mrs. Dalrymple, can I take these packages out of your car now?
Oh, didn't I tell you? I don't have my car. I was hoping that you'd drive me home.
Well, I wanted to.
Oh, thank you.
But...
I think you're just peachy.
But...
Hiya!
Leroy!
Gee, I didn't recognize you behind all those packages. Lucky I saw your stomach sticking out.
Yeah.
Gosh, did you buy all that stuff already?
Well, I...
I'll bet my model airplane's in there, huh?
Leroy,
gee,
I...
Gee, you're swell. I'm the best uncle a fella ever had.
Leroy, these aren't my packages. They're Mrs. Dalrymple's.
What?
You see, I started...
Then you're not going to get my model airplane?
Leroy, I didn't have... Leroy, please.
You don't have to get it. I don't care.
Leroy. Leroy, don't cry, Leroy. Christmas.
Well, the best laid plans of mice and men and the great Gildersleeve often go astray. We find him now, footsore and weary, returning to Hogan Brothers department store. He makes a slight detour.
Well, hello, Commissioner.
Hello, Floyd.
Well, I'll be this afternoon, Shave.
Yeah, no thanks, Floyd. Haven't got time. Just want to rest for a minute.
Sure. Sit right down over there and take a load off your feet.
Thanks.
What's the matter, Commish? You look all in.
I am, Floyd. I've been Christmas shopping.
Oh, that's kind of hard on the arches, all right. I got a wash tub out and back if you want to soak your feet.
Yeah. No, thanks, Floyd. Got to get back to Hogan Brothers.
Ain't you done shopping yet?
I haven't really started yet. I had a few interruptions.
Well, you got my sympathy, Commish. I wouldn't go into that pack of howling females for love or money.
It's got to be done, Floyd. You go Christmas shopping for your wife, don't you?
Not anymore, I don't. Not since that time I went shopping in Hogan Brothers on Christmas Eve.
Why? What happened?
Well, I got caught in a mob around the glove counter. Took me 2 hours to squeeze up to where I could buy a pair. And when I reached out for my change, some dame bit me on the hand. I can show you the scar.
Yeah, don't bother, Floyd.
So Lovey and me don't give each other presents anymore. When Christmas morning comes, we just slap each other on the back, holler Merry Christmas, and exchange $10 bills.
That's a fine Christmas spirit. Well, guess I better be getting back. I got lots to do yet.
Oh, don't rush off, Commish. You just got here. You ought to really take a rest.
Oh?
Sure. Why don't you come over and sit in the second barber chair for a few minutes? More comfortable.
Well, just for a few minutes, maybe. Yeah, this is better.
Here, let me tilt it back for you. No extra charge. There you are, all stretched out.
This is nice. Just close my eyes a minute. Can't stay long, though. Gotta get my shopping done. Gotta get Leroy's.
Commish. Hey, Commish, wake up.
What do you want? Uncle Buckle?
Commish.
What's that? Where am I? Ooh, Floyd. Why, it's dark out.
You slept a couple hours, Commish. Time to close the shop.
What? Let me out of here. I've got to get the Hogan Brothers before they close.
Hey, just a minute, Commish.
Huh?
You owe me half a buck.
What for?
While you was asleep in the chair, I give you a shave.
Floyd. Well, here you are.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Commish.
Haven't they found Bentley yet? Darn Floyd, letting me sleep like that. Lucky the store stays open till 7 o'clock tonight. Well, I better get Leroy's airplane first.
Oh!
Pardon me. I didn't mean to bump into you, young lady.
Oh, it's my fault.
No, it was mine.
I'm sorry. I'll hurry right back to my department.
All right. Huh?
I just went over to talk to a girlfriend of mine for a minute. She's in leather goods. I hope you don't mind.
Why should I mind?
Oh, aren't you a floor walker?
No. I just didn't wear my hat.
Oh, you see, I don't know much about the store. I haven't worked here very long.
I'm Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. I'm in charge of the water department.
What floor is that on?
No, I'm the water commissioner of Summerfield, one of the city officials.
Oh, how do you do? I'm Miss Clark in sheet music.
How do you do? I'm a music lover myself.
Here I am talking to a city official. And I thought you were a floor walker.
Well, I wouldn't mind being a floor walker on your floor.
If you'll excuse me, sir, I'd better get back to sheet music.
Miss Clark, I'm on my way to the toy department. I'll walk over with you. It's right on my way.
All right, sir.
I'm not sir. I'm Mr. Gildersleeve, for you.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, I've enjoyed our interesting talk.
You have? Sure, so have I.
You know, they say you can always trust a man who likes music.
Well, I guess that's right.
Well, here's sheet music. Goodbye, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Miss Clark.
Yes?
Long as I'm here, I might as well look over some music. Long as I'm here.
Oh, of course. Go right ahead.
Let me see.
What kind of a song were you looking for?
Well,
Would you like me to play you a few?
Good idea. Glad you thought of it.
All right.
No, not that one. Don't you have something a little more romantic?
Would you like to hear my favorite?
Yes, indeed, I would. Oh. La
da dee dee. La dee la dee
la. My, you have a wonderful voice.
Well, some people have been known to like it.
I think it's wonderful.
Of course, I never took any lessons.
I'd love to hear you really sing sometime.
Well, I might sing just one chorus.
You mean now?
Well, if you insist. I'll just sit here with you on the piano stool.
Well, I guess it's all right. I don't see the floor walker.
Who knows how much I love you, you do. No one means more to me than you do. Take December and smile it into May, and then December comes back again when you're away. Who has a charm that very few do? Makes life necessary, you do. And who can take my dreams and make my dreams come true? Who? Don't give me three guesses. One will do.
Oh, well, look at all the people around.
Didn't know he had an audience. Guess I'd better be going.
Encore! Encore!
Well, they liked it, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Encore!
Just one more. My Wild Irish Rose, key G. My
fire you, Gildy. This your new job?
Yeah, see you later, Miss Clark.
Goodbye, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Just a minute, Gildy.
I'm in a hurry.
Yes, so I noticed, Gildy. I see you haven't done any shopping yet. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Poor little Leroy.
I'm going up there, Horace, right now. Well, these escalators are all right. Nice, comfortable ride. Third floor. Now, just one more, and then I'll... Peavy!
Yeah, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
What are you doing here?
I'm waiting for Mrs. Peavy. She's getting a beauty treatment over there. It's a sort of a Christmas present to me.
Yeah.
She's been in the beauty parlor all afternoon. Of course, it always takes a little longer with Mrs. Peavy.
Say, Peavy, while you're waiting, why don't you come up to the toy department? Help me pick out a model airplane for Leroy.
Yeah, all right.
Come on, we ride up on the escalator.
If you don't mind, Mr. Gildersleeve, I'll take the stairway.
What?
I don't care much for escalators.
Peavy, you're not afraid to ride on one, are you?
Well, I...
Everybody rides the escalator.
Well, they can if they want to.
It's just a moving stairway.
I prefer a stairway that stands still and lets me do the moving.
But the escalator's faster.
I'm in no hurry.
Well, I am.
And you take the escalator.
Peavy, you're an old woman.
I know. I wouldn't say that.
Wait till I tell the Jolly Boys about this.
Oh, you wouldn't do that.
Oh, yes, I would.
Oh, well.
Come on. Just put your foot on the step.
The left one or the right one?
Ye gods, Peavy. Either one. Now step on it.
All right. Here goes.
There. You made it.
Yeah.
Oh, we're moving. Not so bad, is it?
You know, Mr. Gildersleeve, I kind of like it.
Good.
Come, Josephine, in my flying machine, and it's up we go. this is very enjoyable.
Well, here we are. Step off now.
That was lots of fun. Let's go on up to the next floor.
I've got to get that airplane. Now, come on.
What kind of airplane are you going to get, Leroy, Mr.
I don't know. We'll kind of look him over. Oh, here we are. Oh, say, those are beauties.
Yes, they are.
May I help you?
Oh, you?
Yes. I want to buy one of these model airplanes, one with a gas motor for my little nephew.
Very well. Now, this blue one here is one of our latest models.
Oh, looks like a real airplane, all right.
It's a high-speed fighter type. I'm sure your nephew would like it.
Yeah, I guess he would.
Very well. Shall I wrap it up?
Yeah, looks good to me. What do you think, Peavy?
Well.
Don't you like it?
Yes, I like it.
Well, what's the matter with it?
Well, nothing, Mr. Gildersleeve, but if you don't mind my saying so, I prefer the red one over there.
The red one. Here you are.
Well, that's a nice one, too.
It's a medium bomber. Boys love these.
Oh, I guess that'll be all right.
Very well. Shall I wrap it up?
If it won't trouble you, go ahead.
Mr. Gildersleeve.
Huh?
On second thought, I think Leroy might prefer the blue one.
You do?
The blue one, then?
Well, of course, the red one has its point.
Well, the blue one or the red one?
Peavy, which one do you think I ought to get?
I don't know. Which one do you like?
You've got me so mixed up, I don't know either.
Well, I wish somebody would make up their mind. Peavy, if you were Leroy, which one would you like?
Well, I'm not Leroy.
Oh, for heaven's sake. I'll make up my own mind. I'll take the red one. Clerk? Clerk, where are you going?
I'm going home. The store is closed.
But, clerk, I've got to have that airplane.
No sales after 7 o'clock. Those are the rules.
But, clerk, what am I going to tell Leroy?
You can tell him the store is closed.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Harold Perry. It was written by Gene Stone and Jack Robinson with music by Jack Meakin. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Louise Erickson, Lillian Randolph, Earl Ross, and Richard LeGrand. This is John Wald saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next Wednesday and every Wednesday for the further Adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
And folks, when it comes to Christmas shopping, don't be a put it off. Be a do it now. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Great Gildersleeve on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from December 10th, 1947. In its over 10-year run, the family-centered sitcom always got into the spirit of the holidays around Christmas time. So much so that a couple of broadcasts after the one we just heard, radio schedules had Gildy on the air on Christmas Eve, and the sponsor Kraft even held off on all commercials for that special episode. This is an hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now an unusual one, featured on Dark Fantasy on the day after Christmas, 1941, called The House of Bread.
I am the dweller in the house of bread.
I'm Scott Bishop. I create fantasies for the radio. I write weird stories for magazines. I write books on strange subjects. Authors who do these things sometimes attract odd happenings. I don't ask listeners to believe my stories. I do not expect you to believe what I'm going to tell you now. As I was sitting alone at my typewriter one evening, plotting in my mind an outline for a story, my room was quiet. There was a soft, spicy odor of incense being wafted in from some other portion of the house. An organ was playing softly somewhere in the distance. That was when I fell asleep. And in my dream, I found myself alone high on a precipice, the highest in all creation, where I could observe with a naked eye all the far-flung wonders of the universe, where I could overlook that common clay that mankind calls the earth. And as I watched high on that vantage, why do you sigh, my son? Hmm? Oh, I thought I was alone.
Are any of us ever alone?
No, I suppose we're not. But it's so desolate up here. So far from anything else. And I seem to be searching for something.
Could it be, my son, that the reason is you are searching for the truth?
The truth. What is the truth?
You ask that? Then asking, you surely must not know.
The truth. Is it some vague, inconsequential thing? Some mythical nothingness? Some non-existent wishfulness?
Truth, my son, is neither inconsequential, nor vague, nor mythical.
If I could only believe that.
You can believe it, if you will.
Can one believe something he's never seen?
Perhaps.
You think me a cynic, don't you, sir?
I haven't said I do.
Nor have you denied it.
My son, look upon me. What do you see?
Why, a man, like myself. A little older, perhaps.
And perhaps wiser.
I make no boast of any wisdom I might have.
I am the way and the truth and the light.
What was that?
Merely words spoken by a man who was about to die.
I know. The Bible.
The Bible.
The way, the truth, and the light. If I could only find them.
You will find them. If you look far enough.
Who are you?
I am just a man.
What's your name?
It is a very common name. You'll find it in any city directory or telephone book.
Then why do you conceal it?
I don't conceal it. My name is Word.
I can't agree that it's such a common name.
Nor could you agree that it is unusual.
No.
Names are such temporary things. You can say to me, my name is Bishop. And there is no way for me to know whether you are good or evil, religious or atheistic, learned or ignorant, an emperor or a beggar.
But you've told me more about yourself than just your name.
Have I?
But haven't you? Just a moment ago, you reminded me that your greater age has made you wiser than I.
Well?
If you're so much wiser, perhaps you can tell me where to find what I seek.
Where to find the truth?
The truth. The light. Peace, happiness, contentment. All those things man wants so eagerly, yet seldom finds in sufficiency.
He only fails to find them, my son, because he is blind to them.
Then they are real? They do exist?
I have said that they do.
Then I beg of you to help me find them. I beg of you.
That, my son, I cannot do. For it is given no one to help another find those things which you seek. You must search them out in your own way. You must exert your own efforts in discovering them.
But can't you tell me anything? Anything at all?
I would like nothing better than to disclose everything to you. But this much I can say.
Yes?
If you are sincere in wishing to find the truth, if you really desire to know the way of light and happiness and peace, if you would know the road to all these majestic things, then seek you the house of bread. Remember the house. The house of bread. Seek you the house of bread.
But wait. Wait, I say. Come back. Don't leave me now. Where is that house? Where will I find it? Where will I find the house? Tell me, O wise one. Where will I find the house of bread? I've already told you I was dreaming. I make no secret of that. At first, I didn't tell my dream to anyone. Instead, I cherished it. Gave it many hours of deep thought and serious contemplation. I didn't even tell Sonia. Not at first. I gave much thought to the things the man on the mountaintop had said to me. Those lines he quoted from a book almost as old as Christianity itself. And the house of bread. Where was it? Could I find it? I resolved to try, so I went to my boss.
Are you trying to tell me, Bishop, that you're leaving?
Regretfully, yes.
But Your work, your future.
I wonder, sir, if there is a future.
Well, Bishop, what incarnation has come over you? You've got a great future. Your books are selling like peanuts at a circus. Here's a wire from Fantastic Periodicals. They want a contract for a series of 12 short stories about the supernatural. That's $3,000. $250 apiece. That's not hay. Oh, good Lord, man. Are you out of your mind? Why, think of the years you've spent building up the reputation you've got. Think of those years you studied Greek and Latin and philosophy during the day and wrote cheap sensational nonsense for the pops at night to earn your education. And think of the trunk full of rejection slips you got from the slicks before you made the grade. Think of the money you've spent on travel and research.
That's just it, boss. I am thinking of all those things. So what? So I've worked hard and maybe I'm a success. Who can say?
Maybe you're a success. Maybe you're a success. Well, if you do leave, where are you going?
I'd be glad to answer that if I possibly could.
You mean you won't tell me?
I mean I don't know.
Bishop, I'll tell you what I'll do. You take a vacation. Yeah, that's it. A rest. A week. 10 days. 2 weeks. Take as much time as you like. Then, when you come back, boy, you'll feel better.
I don't think it's going to be that easy.
Oh, Bishop, what in the name of heaven's come over you? Don't you think you at least owe me an explanation?
Yes, I guess I do. If I owe anyone an explanation, it's you.
Well, some satisfaction in that, at least.
Well, it's like this. It all happened about 3 weeks ago, out of my study. I had a story to write for the radio, the Egyptian mummy thing. While I was trying to come up with a reasonable plot, I drifted off to sleep. Telling Sonia was different. The difference between telling her and the boss was like the difference between saying, I love you, to an actress on the stage and the same thing to the girl you adore. It was pleasant and soothing because Sonia understood. Sonia understands everything. She wouldn't be Sonia if she didn't. That's the way it is, Sonia.
Well, my darling, when are we leaving California? Scott, you look so strange. Didn't you think I'd want to go along?
But, Sonia, you want to seek it too?
What better thing could I do?
Oh, yes, I might have known you'd wish to go along.
Do you mind so much?
Mind? Well, no, of course not. But the journey may be a long one.
I love long journeys.
And a difficult one.
I've always been used to difficulties.
It may take us to far-off places.
But I adore far-off places.
And it may end only in disappointment.
Haven't we shared many a disappointment, Scott?
Yes, indeed we have. I can think of no one I'd rather make the journey with.
Thank you, darling. When do we leave?
Well, whenever the house trailer's been remodeled and the car cylinders have been ground.
Where do we go first?
I don't know for certain.
It reminds me of Sir Galahad looking for the Holy Grail. Did he know where he was to begin his search?
More or less, I suppose.
Well, do you know where to start looking for the house of bread?
Darling, I haven't the slightest idea where to begin.
Dearest, what do you suppose the man named Word meant by the house of bread?
Yeah, I've asked myself that time and time again.
Surely not a real house.
No, I think not. Sonia, that phrase symbolizes something. But what?
Well, perhaps we shall find out someday.
That was when we decided to go seeking a house of bread. As I look back on it now, I don't blame the boss for thinking I was balmy. Here we were, Sonia and I, two supposedly sane, sensible people throwing up everything, kit and caboodle, and taking out to look for something more vague and unknown than Shangri-La or Arcadia or Nirvana, some other synonymous place. And all because of dream. Had the house trailer remodeled and the automobile repaired, and we drew our money from the banks and started out. It was the 21st day of May, my birthday, about 6 o'clock in the morning. I gathered up the morning newspapers on the way out of the house, breathed in some of the fragrant California atmosphere. Sonia wanted to stop at the used bookshop on Pacific Avenue, so we drove through the spacious Long Beach streets until we came to the place opposite the post office. Sonia bought 7 travel books and a back issue of a magazine that contained one of my better stories. She said she wanted to drive around Rainbow Pier once, so we did. Then we scooted over to L.A., picked up Highway 66, and drove to Las Vegas. We stayed in a tourist cabin at Boulder that night. Bright and early the next day, we drove over to the dam. As we began driving through the mountains out of the place, I noticed Sonia laboriously riding in a small but bulky... What's that, dear?
A 5-year diary. I thought we should log our trip. Perhaps we'll assemble enough material for you to write another book.
If we log our trip, my sweet, you'll have to do it. Me, I couldn't write an IOU with a pencil.
Oh, I've already started to keep it, Scott. Here, listen. May 21st. We left Long Beach at 7 a.m. and were out of Los Angeles by 10:30. The trip across the desert was uneventful, but quite pleasant, and we arrived at Las Vegas, Nevada, around... May 22nd, Flagstaff, Gallup, Albuquerque. May 23rd, Amarillo, Oklahoma City, Tulsa.
Kansas City, St. Louis, Chicago.
Philadelphia, Washington, New York City.
May 30th. We sail today from Pier 17 for London aboard the SS America. As we stood at the ship's rail together, Sonia and I, we wondered just why we decided to leave the good old United States behind. Did something tell us our goal was far beyond the sea?
Spent the past few days in London. It is now June 27th. We have seen the River Thames, London Bridge, Trafalgar Square, Downing Street, Westminster Abbey, Buckingham Palace, Piccadilly Circus, many other points of interest. We were especially attracted by a place called the Light of the World. But the people we asked there, and everywhere else, had never heard of the House of Bread.
July 16th. We're about to leave Paris for Madrid. Sonia and I sought diligently in this city of pleasure for the place the man called Word named to me. We searched everywhere. The magnificent Bois de Boulogne, boulevards, everywhere we could go. We did Eiffel Tower and the Louvre and Cardinal Richelieu's Palais Royal, the Cathedral of Notre Dame, Grand Opera House, the Arc of Triumph. Then we were attracted to the Place de la Concorde, which is called the Place of Peace. And we thrilled for a moment because we thought our search was ended. But when we asked about the House of Bread, folks only laughed at us.
July 30th, Madrid. For there are two classes of people, those who go to bed after 3 a.m. and those who get up before 4. No Spaniard had ever heard of the House of Bread.
Morocco, August 20th. Mingling with the Moors and Arabs. Wandering up narrow, crooked, dirty streets. Through shabby buildings and unkept markets. All with a general aspect of dilapidation and extreme neglect.
Tripoli, September 15th. Sponge fisheries, ostrich feathers, gold, ivory, rugs, and the ruins of a triumphal arch erected to Marcus Aurelius.
Cairo. Egyptians, Arabs, Nubians, and Turks in a city of mosques. High stone houses, barred windows, stately turrets and domes rising above the surrounding dirt and squalor. And the temple where tradition has it that God talked with Moses. No encouragement here either. The house the man Word spoke of is unknown. It is late October. November 6th.
November 16th.
November 26th.
December 5th.
December 15th.
December 25th. Jerusalem. The hill of Calvary, not far from the city gates, where once a humble man bearing a cross of misunderstanding and hate, far heavier than mere beams of wood, drank the last drop in the cup of human bitterness.
The city of God. City of David, Solomon, Cyrus, the Persian king.
Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian. Alexander the Great. Constantine the Great. Pontius Pilate.
Swoops down. Rain begins to fall. The newborn stars are hidden, all save one. There is one star to the east, quite close by. It scintillates through the gloom, through the downpour. Sends out its rays and engulfs us, enfolds us, becomes almost a part of us. And Sonia writes that we must follow the beam it sends pounding vigorously earthward. Sonia, let's go back. At least find shelter.
Oh, Scott, you're tired. We've tried to find shelter. Strange, the lodgings are completely filled.
Then we'd best go back to Jerusalem instead of wandering about here in the darkness.
Here. There's some sort of a shelter here, Scott. Let's step inside a moment, shall we?
It's all right, dear.
There seems to be a light in here.
Yes. And there's someone here beside us.
Scott, look.
I bid you welcome, good people.
We beg your pardon. We thought this place was unoccupied.
No, do not go. You are welcome here.
I say, haven't we met before?
I believe we have.
Yes, we have. Now I remember. You're the one in my dream. Your name is Word.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
The way and the truth and the light.
I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me shall not abide in darkness.
The way and the truth and the light.
And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord showed round about them, and said unto them,
Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For to you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Be not afraid. Have you not been told, seek ye the Lord, and he will not be scornful unto thee?
Here in this humble manger, you were born.
2,000 years ago.
Verily I say unto you, I am with you at all times, in all places, even unto the consummation of the world.
Then this is our answer. This is what we have been seeking so earnestly.
Because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed is he who has not seen me and still believes. And that is my story. We awoke the next morning feeling more refreshed than we'd felt in all time. The sun was bright. The rain had gone. What was the significance of the house of bread? We didn't learn that until later when I consulted the Britannica. I quote as it is written word for word. Bethlehem, a small town in Palestine, situated on a limestone ridge, 5 miles south of Jerusalem, a city called by the Hebrews the house of bread.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Dark Fantasy, on Tuned to Yesterday from December 26th, 1941 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Happy holidays.